So I think money does have an impact on your energy overall because it affects you positively or it affects you negatively.
It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast.
Hey, everybody, it's Mark Yeagy. Welcome back to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. Today, we've got a really cool dude to talk to about money, which is great because I'm excited about talking about money. Been talking about so many other things with New Year's coming around that I'm ready to talk about money. So this gentleman is an internationally recognized financial preparedness advocate, podcaster, and award-winning author. His newest book, The Get Ready Blueprint, is a 52-week guide to changing the way you think about money. That's also in the title. And it presents his Get Ready method, which he created to empower people to take control of their money while providing a framework for integrating financial products, financial advice, advisors. And he's got a ton of other credentials, but let's just hear from the man himself, Tony Stewart. Tony, welcome.
Hey, glad to be here, Mark.
Cool. So listen, you're out in California. How are things in California these days, at least from a money perspective? I'm hearing lots of rumors.
Like you said, it's all rumors, so it depends. You know, overall, you know, things are good where we are. Seems like the economy's holding steady. There have been some layoffs in the tech sector because San Francisco is the heart of Silicon Valley, especially in the financial technology sector. So
now, are we getting that because taxes are higher in California, or because it's a cyclical slowdown because of some recessionary pressures? What do you feel it is? You're right there on the ground, so I want to get the expert's opinion.
Well, two things. One is the VC money has pretty much dried up, and I think that's a result of the higher interest rates, just, you know, restricted access to capital. And two, I think people aren't serving the needs of the consumer, whether they're a B2B to C or a B2C. I think they're just, you know, they're not really adding value at the end of the day.
Interesting concept. Why not?
Well, I think, you know, and that's the reason I've gone into work that I've gone into, and I've read my most recent book, is I think, you know, everybody's so busy talking about the mechanics of money that they don't take a look at the overall functioning of money and how it fits into everything. You know, people are interested in meeting goals. You know, they're interested in having enough money for financial independence or have enough money to send their kids to college. They're not really interested in 529 plans, but we get really bogged down in those mechanics instead of thinking about the concepts and what people are trying to achieve.
Oh man, you are speaking my language. This is really the thing, is that we don't teach people financial education. We don't teach them about money. I was just listening to a YouTube video yesterday, watching a YouTube video. It was one of those, you know, illustration ones where they do the hand-drawn cartoons, and it was actually pretty good. It was about how Jewish people are so good at money, and it's because they instill financial education at a very early age. You know, the bar mitzvah, you know, you get a bunch of money through the bar mitzvah, and then they teach you kind of almost on an institutional level, because it's throughout the religion or the belief system, that, you know, you have to be a good steward of your money. You have to, you know, be charitable. You have to not waste it, those kinds of things. And I thought it was just fascinating to break it down from that perspective. So again, it goes back to the people that have good financial education are the people that end up on the other side of it with great results. Now, today is a big day, at least for me. Today is the day that the SEC has approved 11 exchange-traded funds for Bitcoin. And so I know this is going to be coming out in the next couple of weeks, but, you know, for 15 years, Bitcoin has been in existence, and it's been ridiculed as a joke and all these other things. But if you had educated yourself about it from a financial perspective 10 years ago, you'd have a lot of walking around money. Let's put it that way. And today it's, you know, a pivotal day. I believe, I don't know whether it's going to go up or down. I don't care. I look at it as an insurance policy rather than an investment, but it is the future and it's the new future. And so I think, you know, looking at, if you had just gotten a little financial education a few years ago, just even that window, even two years ago, right? That little window would have dramatically been able to change your life. So I want to talk about your process and your financial education and the 52-week program that you have. I want to talk about how you frame that and how you start it and how it ends up. So let's talk. Go.
All right. Well, you mentioned a lot there. I think, you know, financial education is a key. I'm actually Jewish, so, you know, I kind of can culturally relate, but I don't think, you know, one is, we don't want to get too much into a religious talk, but I think it's cultural. If we look at the Jewish cultural side, and I think people have a hard time separating it, that it is something that's instilled to you, but I think that happens in a lot of cultures. And we grow up, if we grow up with good money stories and good modeling from our parents, you know, if our parents, you know, they don't argue about money, they have constructive conversations about money, you know, that's a big turnoff for people that happens later on. If their parents are constantly arguing about money, their money is going to be a sensitive topic for them in their lives. They're going to have a hard time talking about it with their spouse. So I think that's, you know, that's actually part of, you know, my method is thinking about your money story and how you relate to money. And it's, you know, it's also your experiences. You know, did you have a bad experience with, let's say, loans? Like, I kind of overdid on credit cards when I was coming out of college because I'm like, hey, this is great, free money. You know, and then like, not really. You know,
definitely not.
Got the first bill. You know, I think the money stories are a super important part of this.
Hey, it's Mark Yeagy here to tell you about our Cash Flow Machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more.
And don't you think money has tentacles of energy all around it? Does that make sense when I say it that way?
Yeah, you know, the reason I smiled is, I don't know if you've heard of Hugh Massey and DNA behavior, but he's really talking about the money energy and how it can stop you, or it can, you know, or it can buoy you. And I think that's very true. Is, you know, if you're feeling bad about money, you know, maybe you don't sleep at night, and it impacts your job performance. So I think money does have an impact on your energy overall, because, you know, it affects you positively, or it affects you negatively, or you're just neutral because money is money and you feel comfortable with it and you don't let it rule your emotions.
Well, so many people do. And how do you avoid that? I mean, money is charged with emotional energy because we work so hard for it. And on the other side, we're programmed as a society that, you know, we have to spend it and we have to do all these things with it. And we don't have it, like, our life is going to be totally changed, when in fact, like, you can lose all your money and your life is not going to be that tough in this, you know, in this Western hemisphere. But because it's so loaded with energy, we put way more emphasis on losing it and other repercussions, don't you think?
Oh, I think 100%. And I think that we oftentimes don't appreciate what you're talking about. It's like, well, what's the worst possible thing that can happen? Usually, it's not that bad. Yeah. I mean, in some cases, it can be that bad. But for most people, you know, let's say, you know, your 401k balance goes down by 10%. In a year. That's a major shock. But if you're looking 20 years down the road to when you're thinking of being financially independent, retiring, you know, that's a blip in the road. And absolutely, overall, the market's going to recover. So I think that's something to think about. I think the other thing is, people underplay the role of proper risk protection. And when you have proper risk protection, you're protecting your downside risks. And risk protection is having the right insurance for the risks you run. And I think we don't talk about insurance enough and the role it plays in a sound financial plan.
So true. So true. And it is important. I talk about the five steps of financial planning, and the last one, and it really doesn't mean it's in this order, but the one of the last ones that I leave to talk about is protection. It's so important to protect what you've built, and it's and protect what you intend to leave, because if you don't, it can be taken away very easily. There's a lot of money energy drainage that happens when money is not taken care of just automatically in our society. So you have to be proactive in taking care of it. So let's say that somebody doesn't have a clue about money. Are they going to pick up your program and figure it out? How does that work?
Well, I like to think they will. That's the purpose, is that it can help anybody anywhere along their journey. And I wrote it from the perspective of building healthy habits and building a healthy approach to money, because I think that's the missing thing, is that people don't know how to even approach the financial world. You know, maybe they meet with a financial planner or they meet with a CPA and they don't even know the right questions to ask. And, you know, they have a 1-hour meeting. The advisor may have an agenda of things that they need to go over. But the people, you know, they don't want to also say, you know, like, hey, I don't understand, you know, you use the word dollar cost averaging. I don't really understand what it means. It's because when the advisor says it, they may feel like, gosh, I better know what dollar cost averaging is, and I need to act like I understand the concept. And so I think that, you know, in the book, I really want people to have, you know, to be able to understand that they can ask questions, that it's their time, if they do have an advisor, or it's their money when they're buying a financial service or product. And if they don't get an answer to their question, they can move on. But they need to think about themselves first, and they need to understand that you need to know the rules to any game you're playing. Like if you and I were going to play chess and you'd never played chess before, it'd be really hard for you to win. And we expect people to walk into money, you know, with this complex thing, no idea how to play the game. And it's no wonder that people lose at the game.
Right.
So,
and you know, I came from this business, so I guess I'm allowed to say it, but you know, the Wall Street institutions are run by salespeople and lawyers, right? The salespeople to gather the assets and the lawyers to make sure that they don't get sued. So the result of that is being put into average things, right? Because if you get an average return of 9.4% over the last, you know, 100 something years in the stock market, well, if you get that average or just around the average, you're not going to, you know, get sued as an advisor. On the other hand, as an advisor, you're not really trained on true portfolio management. You're a little bit more trained in sales skills. At least when I was coming up through Wall Street, I was trained to sell 10 to 1 the amount of time that I was trained to put together good quality portfolios. And so you have to understand that and have to remember as a consumer that these people work for you. They may not charge you a fee like you pay when you go get your tires changed, but they charge you a fee from your money. And they get paid on a very quiet basis. It comes off the top, or it comes in a form of a commission, or both. And so you have to understand, they work for you. So having that power, and like you said, it's really important to understand that there is a lot of gobbledygook. There is some vocabulary that you need to understand so that you can ask some good questions. That's when I say, you know, never give up your power and your health, your wealth, or your time. That's what I mean, is that, you know, have a great team around you. Just understand what the heck they're talking about so you can be a co-pilot in your financial journey. Okay, so somebody doesn't understand what's going on. They pick up your book, they pick up your program, they start to read it in the, you know, they start to instill some habits. What are a couple of habits that maybe we can touch on that maybe halfway through we started to instill that help us to become more successful as we go through this process?
Well, and this even relates to what you were talking about with Bitcoin. It's about thinking about goals first. Is, you know, we oftentimes think about product first. And so maybe somebody listening to this podcast is going to say, oh boy, I got to get Bitcoin spot exchange. You know, it's, you know, an exchange traded fund. You know, Bitcoin is the place to be. But the better question is like, okay, well, is Bitcoin the right tool to help me on my financial journey?
That's right.
Now, we can debate whether Bitcoin is or is not the right tool. It probably is for a lot of people, but it's just a tool. And, you know, people shouldn't ask that question right away. It's like, oh, should I buy Bitcoin or not? They should think about, well, what goal do I have? Well, if your goal is to create an emergency fund, Bitcoin is not the right tool. If your goal is financial independence 20 years down the road and you're putting 5% of your portfolio into Bitcoin, well, then it's probably a really good tool. So, yes. You know, that's a big thing for me is for people to start thinking about, well, what are you trying to accomplish? Rather than thinking about, well, is the screwdriver the right tool? You know,
I love it. That's great. I have an event coming up this weekend. Unfortunately, when by the time this podcast goes out, the event will have passed, but it's called Your Greatest Year. And it's where actually people sit down and they think about their future. Because so often we think about the future 10 minutes from now, 20 minutes from now, 2 hours, what are we going to do on the next vacation? We don't think about what our life is going to be like in 20 years, probably until it's too late. And I can tell you, and you maybe you'll agree, maybe you won't, but I don't think that Social Security is going to be enough to live on by the time you get it. And I don't think it was designed to be that. It was designed to be like a little safety net to make sure you can get some food so we don't have bread lines. But I don't, you know, and I think a lot of people are using that as their retirement fund. And unfortunately these days, and tell me if you agree or disagree, Tony, we're using our homes now because we don't have any other choice, right? You can't put your money, or at least a year ago, you couldn't put your money in the bank because you got 2%. Well, now you get 4. Okay, I guess that's better. You can get 4 out of bonds. But, you know, we used to get 8, 9, 10% in you know, fixed income. Now you've got to take risk. And now the risk is being undermined by inflation. So you have to have hard assets, which means that people default to using their homes as investments as we debase our currency. I don't know. Do you agree with that?
I agree with all that. One is Social Security. I think people don't quite understand, like you're talking about, the role of Social Security. And that even gets back to what we were talking about before. Social Security is a tool that is part of your retirement plan, but it's just a part. One, we don't know what you're actually going to get in 20 years because Social Security is underfunded. So we don't know what's going to happen with that. It's not going to go away, but it could be substantially less than we're planning on. And even if it's 100% of what we're planning on, like you point out, it's not going to be enough for most people to maintain their current lifestyle. So I think that's one of the other things that I encourage people to do is to be realistic. When you're thinking about your future and you're thinking about all these different things, is to be realistic about what you can expect and then manage those expectations. But the other things that you're talking about is the returns and all that is, yeah, that's a tough thing. You know, that's a little bit beyond my expertise, but I think that people need to understand, you know, there's diversification between different asset classes and different types of investments and trying to figure out how you can get the best yield. But I think you said something really important that people don't hear, even when you say it, the risk with certain investments. They think about the return, but they don't think about the risk. And that's something I think people also need to take into account is like, how much risk are you willing to take? How much volatility are you willing to stomach? You know, when you look at your investments.
I think we need to define risk because one person's risk is another person's reward. So for example, if you have a 20-year horizon, you just mentioned Bitcoin, we can use that as an example, or gold or whatever you want to use. But over 20 years, a solid investment will generally outperform a safe investment, right? A quote-unquote safe investment. For example, if you put money into Amazon 20 years ago, I think you'd have, you know, 10,000% return on your money. I just did the numbers on it last week, but I can't remember all these numbers. But it's ridiculous. Like it's not, you didn't double your money over, you know, 20 years. You made 100x your money or whatever the number is, some just gigantic number. So, but yes, during that period of time, Amazon was up and down and up and down, and people were, you know, Cramer was putting out reports, don't buy Amazon, they're going out of business. What crazy thing, they're going to sell books online. You know, like there's been all kinds of fear, uncertainty, and doubt for the last 20 years. So yes, know that there's going to be volatility and that's part of risk. But know that over time, if you have a solid investment, that's the key, you mitigate some of that risk, right? But if you need that money tomorrow, you shouldn't be putting your money in Bitcoin, like you so aptly pointed out. You shouldn't put your money in basically anything that's really got a lot of inherent volatility because you may not get it back if you need your money tomorrow. So So you have to be careful, and you have to think about risk, and you have to think about it in the context of reward as well. Really great, great stuff. Now, okay, so somebody goes through your program, and then after 52 weeks, are they financial experts?
Never. You know, we're always learning. The key is that it's an ongoing program. Is, you know, each week there's a weekly action item, but the key is, well, one, nobody's going to do all 52 weeks. That's just not going to happen. But the key is that you rinse and repeat and do it the following year, because that's one of the biggest issues I found as an advisor was people don't go back and review things. You know, they put an insurance policy in a drawer, and, you know, I don't know how many times I was reviewing a life insurance policy and it's somebody's ex-spouse as a beneficiary, which are always thrilled to hear that their ex is, you know, the beneficiary on their life insurance policy. Or, you know, they've got a 401k that's, you know, with a former employer, and it's invested in whatever default investment that the employer ended up putting it into as an orphan 401k. And, you know, that's the big thing, is I want people to go back and look at things and ask questions and go, okay, well, is this still the right fit? Do I need this? Is there something that's missing? Is there something I can get rid of? Because that's the other thing. We become hoarders with our financial life. You know, we don't get rid of stuff. We don't go, oh, you know, I don't need this anymore. I stopped working. Do I need a disability insurance policy? Probably not.
It just gets so easy to be on automatic and autopilot, right?
100%. And, you know, I mean, everybody talks about automating your savings, but we also automate our expenses, which is really dangerous if we're not reviewing our credit card statements every month and go, oh boy, you know, my cable bill went up by 10%, you know, month over month, you know, because we don't go back and review it and think about those things.
Right. And we don't do that in a lot of areas of our life. Like, and I'll just challenge everybody that's watching or listening, go back and think about, you know, let me set some context first. Most of us think about goals and things in the future, right? And that's great. We don't think a lot about today, the present. We're not that present anymore. So, but we also don't look at all the great things that we've done in our life. So think about 20 years ago, where you were and how far you've come. And project that amount of growth into the future. And that's how far you can go. But most people don't see that because they never have taken the time to focus on what's going on in the past. So this is a little bit different than what you're talking about. But at least it's, you know, appreciate what you've done. Have some gratitude and then inflect that or reflect that into the future so that you can have some, you know, they are more realistic goals when you look at it in that context. It's just an interesting exercise. I don't know.
So, well, no, I think that's a worthwhile exercise. Is we don't celebrate our wins, and that's actually part of it. Is, yes, you know, every 13th week is, you know, I encourage people just to reflect on how much they've done in the last quarter, you know, and celebrate those victories. You know, they may be small. Maybe you just managed to, you know, review your checking account and think about, you know, like, is this the best bank for me? Am I paying, you know, an annual fee for a bank account, which we shouldn't be doing anymore. We should be able to get free checking somewhere.
And it is, there are apps now, Tony, and I don't know if you can tell us offhand which ones you use or recommend or you even can think of. I can't right now, but there are apps now that will go in, you put all your credit cards in there, and they'll tell you, like, here's how much you're spending every month on these crazy things. And that way you can take a really good look at it, because I think we get credit carded out and we end up having 40, 50 items on the credit card, and then we don't take a time to look at them because it's overwhelming. And if you look at them and you go, wow, $60 on that subscription, I don't even use that subscription and I haven't used it in a year. Wow, that's, you know, $720 that I blew. That's a vacation, right? And so some people don't even think about it. How many of those little things do you have? And this is all, of course, playing defense. But it's important. You got to play defense too.
Exactly. You have to know where you are in order to be able to make choices about where to go. So, you know, a lot of the book is figuring out ratios. It's like your debt to income ratio, you know, like you're reviewing your credit score. But like you say, is, you know, is writing down your major expenses or your recurring expenses and then being a little bit mindful of them, you know, being intentional, like, well, do I need 20 streaming services? You know, maybe not. And I'm just picking on streaming services as an example, but there might be all kinds of things that you find you don't need anymore as you go through. But you have to think about it. You have to spend time on it. You know, people spend more time shopping for a new TV than they do thinking about their money.
So important. So true. And they get $80 off on that TV when they just spent $80 on that subscription for the month. And that goes 12 months, right? So great point. Okay. So how do people find out about this wonderful program that you have? And it sounds incredible, because I believe first of all, thank you for doing what you do. And I believe that anybody that's out there talking about financial education is doing a huge service for the world, especially in our Western society. We just don't teach money. And so we need guys like you. So thank you.
Thanks.
How do people find out more about you and what you do and all that kind of stuff?
Well, you can go to my website, tonystewart.com, and
let's spell it. You can let's sign spell up it, for, Tony.
Oh, sure. It's TonyStewart.com. The easier way to find me is the Get Ready Blueprint. Just Google that and Tony, and you'll find me on Amazon.
There you go.
Okay. My last name is hard to spell. So probably should have picked something else for the website, but you know, it is what it is. But you can sign up for my newsletter for free, and you'll get the weekly action item for free. I want to make this available to as many people as possible, because I feel that this is really something that's missing, in the financial services community.
Hey, can I sign up for it for free? Do you mind?
Oh, of course.
I always like learning tips every week from experts like you, so that's pretty cool. All right.
Feedback is always appreciated.
Okay, good. I'm the same way. So we'll link to your website there, and well, actually both of those things in the show notes. You'll be able to be found easily in our show notes. But, guys, this is important. And people like Tony are out there talking about money, and they're talking about getting educated. And so often what happens is we get sucked into, who won the national championship and who's going to go to the Super Bowl. And then, summer's coming and what are we going to do with the kids? And pretty soon our life gets away and we haven't taken care of the thing that's going to take care of us when we're older. And that is, we have to play offense and defense our entire life with the thing that we use every day. It's money. We don't use Copernicus. We don't use the Pythagorean theorem, and we don't use algebra every day, but we use money. Shouldn't you know more about money? People like Tony Stewart are here to help you learn about money. So take advantage of it. He's got a great program. Tony, thank you so much for your time and your wisdom and for putting this 52-week plan together. And I have no doubt that after 52 weeks of just focusing on your money, you're going to be, what, even if you teach nothing in the book other than look at your money every 52 weeks, you're going to be way ahead. But I'm sure that with the stuff that you've got and you've talked about, you're going to be way, way ahead. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, Mark, thanks for having me on. And thank you to you as well for hosting these podcasts, because I think this is stuff that is valuable for people. So if you're watching or listening, pay attention, maybe pick up a nugget, maybe try it out. And if you don't like it, move on to the next episode, right?
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. I put one of these out every week. So if somebody picks up one nugget a week, that's 52 nuggets a year. Right? That's 52 nuggets in your financial journey that you can start to apply. If you just apply one a week, your life will change, I guarantee it, especially with people like Tony Stewart. So Tony, thank you again for being on. And everybody else who's listening and watching, remember what I always say, never give up your power in your health, your wealth, or your time. Speaking of that, have a great time. Welcome to 2024. Make it a great year, and I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.